Rabbi Sai, lessons from the lay. Parshas Tazria Mitzora, double parsha. I think the next 2 weeks we have a double parsha. Rosh Chodesh, Haba Aleinu Latova, is Shabbos as well. And this week we commemorate the Holocaust Memorial, Yom HaShoah, and some halachic sources, including religious Zionist sources, say it's a difficult day halachically because it's still in Nisan. But nonetheless, everybody will be commemorating in one way. And I have not had a chance, unfortunately, to speak about the great tragedies over the holiday of Pesach, the terrorism that killed. Specifically, we mourn the loss as they're sitting Shiva now, the D family, and such a really, really difficult situation. Maya and Rinan and the mom, Lucy. Hashem should give the family really nechama and should give them strength. And I want to speak a little bit about these questions. And I think it's very appropriate for a person to question the Rabbanu Shalom and to say, why is this happening? Why did this happen? And of course, we are not here. And one of the most horrible, horrific things is when a Rav gets up and he gives reasons. You know, the Holocaust happened because... I'm like, no. So we're not going to do that. But I do want to speak about, related to our parsha, a very, very important point. So let's learn. So the parsha, of course, speaks about Tzaras. And we generally believe that Tzaras comes, as the Gemara tells us in Mefurish, for speaking Lashon Hara, or something along those lines, being arrogant, lack of humility. And the Rav Asher Weiss tells over beautifully, what is the point of this? A person, seems like that when a person gets such a detailed punishment, I mean literally, like, you know, literally an entire parasha, but two parashas, Tzaria and Betzara, goes through this whole thing. So a person would think, correctly so, you're being punished. You did something wrong. I actually know what you did wrong in this case. You spoke Lashon Hara. This is your Avera. And there are different reasons why Dafka the Avera is like this. We spoke about this morning in the smaller lessons from the lay. We spoke about the idea of being bodeid. You're going out. A lot of people spoke about this during Bidud, during the times. It's hard to believe this. But I was listening to a shiur yesterday by Rav Asher Weiss, and he said, this is the first public shiur that I'm giving in 2 years. Like, it's crazy. We forget what happened in those days. And you know the feeling when someone's in seclusion, right? Many of us felt this way, right? During that time here in Eretz Yisrael, it was quite extreme. I remember we were just talking about it. We were going to burn our chametz across the street, meaning where the bus is over there. And we said, wow, that was the farthest we were able to go during the lockdowns. Can you imagine? We would go a little bit farther because there was a little stream. If you wanted to have a little, like, oh my God, imagine we're going to get arrested or something. Like, it was crazy. So a person who speaks Lashon Hara, who made a person feel terrible, there's a feeling there. You feel terrible and you go, you be alone, right? A person can't be haughty if there's nobody else around him. That's the idea. So says Rav Asher Weiss the following. A person is afflicted specifically with tzaras that afflicts, of course, a person's skin, his clothing, his home. If a person thinks that it's a physical illness like leprosy, the Midrash says unequivocally that that is not true. This is a supernatural punishment from the Rabbonu Shalom because of the sins the person did, specific that of Lashon Hara. And listen to the Lashon of the Medrash. The Medrash says, this is the Medrash Rabbah, says, judgments are readied for scoffers, for fools who commit averas. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, before I created man, I prepared 5 whips. Saras, Sapachas, Baheres, Sechin, and Michva. Right? Michve. With all 3 things that you get. These are different forms that the Kohen had to see to be fine. The Ramban, in an extended commentary on our parsha, speaks about tzaras. And he speaks about the fact that, in fact, it was a physical illness. It was an illness that a person had. It was physical. However, the tzaras of the clothing was purely supernatural, right? A person could, I remember when I was in Israel for the year, stomped one day there. I had like a little white something over here, right? Pimple, whatever it was. And a guy comes up and says, oh my God, you have Saras. You must have spoken Lashon Hara yesterday. And it happened to be it was during Shir, and the Rebbe in the class went crazy. He goes, you know, he says, we don't have Saras. He was like, stop it. What are you saying? So, okay, there's a contention. The Midrash says it was supernatural, but certainly if it happened on your clothing, there's no way you could say, well, it's just an illness, right? It's easy to pass something up and saying, oh, the guy got, it makes sense, the guy got COVID because he was outside all the time, and he wasn't careful with da-da-da-da, right? It's easy to say that. Or a person, you know why you have a cold. What did I told you to go outside and wear a jacket that time. That's why you got this illness. As opposed to saying, you know why you got a cold? Because you speak Lashon Hara. You know why you got a cold? Because you're... Right, we don't want to say that, but the Ramban says that on the clothing, that's not you can't explain that away. So that's clearly has to be a heavenly punishment because it's so not natural, and it's not in the course of the actions of the world. So too, tsaras on a home. If a person could imagine for a moment, a little bit here, you can see a little tsarav, right? Imagine on these walls or starts growing something. It's supernatural. There's no way. The Ramban explains that we're loyal to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Hashem's Shechina rests upon us. Vayesuli Mikdash Veshachanti B'Soichem was, as we laned in last week's parasha, when we had a Mishkan, when we had a Mikdash. Nowadays we don't have that. We do believe, the Rambam says this, that the Mishkan is within us. The Mishkan is our home, right? Zeh Shulchan Lifnei Hashem. We have halachos. We still cut the challah in a certain way. We still use salt. Zecher l'mikdash, zecher l'mishkan. That's who we are. That's the idea, he says. And when a person doesn't follow the ways, so the Shechina is not with us, right? There's a lack of Shechina. Oh, so the laws of Selas that apply to a home and to a land, Hashem, right? When you arrive in Eretz Yisrael is also very interesting halacha. That it only applies in Eretz Yisrael. There's no such thing as Saras in America or wherever, right? Wherever they were in those, in Bavel. There was no such thing. Saras can only come in the chosen land where Hashem dwells. Why am I saying this? Why is this important? This is very important. This is very important, says Rav Asher Weiss, because there's a spiritual connection to Saras. What do I mean? We often miss the messages that Hashem sends us, right? Famous story about, many different jokes you could tell, but the guy who's late for an interview in Tel Aviv, and he's running late, and he can't find a parking space, and he finally decides, I don't know if you do this, but you go around to the office building, and then when there's no spots, you make a little bit, okay, I'll walk 20 minutes, right, as long as I don't have to go into a lot, and finally decides he's going to go into a lot, and it's full, and he's going to miss the interview. And he's not a religious person. He looks up to Shammai and he says, Ribbono Shel Olam, I know I'm not one of your buddies here, but I promise you, that if you find me a spot now and I can go to that job interview, Hashem, I promise you, I'm going to start putting tefillin on every single day. And literally at that moment, a guy waves at him with a long beard, obviously a Chabad guy, and gets out of the spot. And the man looks up to Shammai and he says, forget it, Hashem, I found the spot. Shkoyach, bye. That's who we are, right? Hashem is with us like this, and we don't even see it in front of our eyes. Says Rav Asher Weiss, Hashem in the Ramban, Hashem is dafka doing this, in Eretz Yisrael, in the holiest land, in the place of the Shechina, to give us a message that He actually loves us. Right? That's the idea. Why? Says in the Torah's Kohanim, it could only happen in the land that the Ribbono Shel Olam chose. Tzaras only happens in a land that the Ribbono Shel Olam himself, Kiviyachol, gave out. It's impossible to happen anywhere else. V'chein, the Sefarno says the same thing. Tzaras of the clothes is obviously not a natural occurrence, since no garment can ever have odd discolorations unless deliberately dyed or accidentally died as a result of mistakes in dying, so on and so forth. However, traditional laws of Selas apply to a white garment. Therefore, it's impossible. You can't explain it away. Saras is a nes, which comes to draw attention to the sins that a person has committed. Just as Chazal tell us concerning the sin for selling produce during Shavuos. We just finished the Shavuos year. We're still in it because many of the fruits now are Kedusha Shavuos, so on and so forth. But It says that a person is going to be punished. For if you sell fruits, not het mechira, not anything, you just sell fruits, you don't care. It says, the pasuk says, his possessions will be sold. He will be sold into slavery. Tzaras afflicts a person's garments, his home, finally his very flesh itself. The Gemara says in Kedusha. The Kli Yakar adds that tzaras comes to homes, to garments, can't be a natural occurrence. It's impossible. It's supernatural. It's Hashem knocking on the door and saying, hi, kol dodi dofeg, wake up. You did something wrong. Do tshuva. Okay. Step one. Give me a few minutes. Step one. You understand that tzaras is supernatural. We've established that. Let's go to step number two. How do we decipher signs for the Ravon Hashem? Right? We just said, we don't go ahead and say, well, these people died, this terrorist attack, this happened, the Holocaust. No. We don't do that. It's meant to awaken us. The great Gedolim said this, the Chafetz Chaim said, when there's an earthquake in Tokyo, you should look into it yourself, even though it has nothing to do with us. It may not be a Jew that was affected. But it affects us. The Ravon Hashem is sending us a message. That's why the pasuk says, in Eicha, let us search and examine our ways to return to the Ravon Hashem. You have to be honest with yourself. Judge your own behavior. Say, you know what? This wasn't the perfect day. Every morning when we wake up and the first thing out of our mouths are supposed to be Moda'ani. So there are some Mefarshim that say Moda'ani isn't the traditional way that we interpret Moda'ani. Thank you, Hashem, for giving me another day. Moda comes from the word moda b'mitzvahs. I'm admitting something. You know what I'm admitting when I wake up in the morning? We're saying, God, thank you for giving me another day, because yesterday wasn't perfect. Yesterday I was off from yeshiva, and Baruch Hashem, thank you very much for coming. I forgot to mention that, because you're off from yeshiva now. And I spent 16 hours on my phone doing shtus. So moda in the fanacha. Thank you for giving me another chance that I can come to a lesson to the lev this morning and choose better my life. You have to be honest with yourself. You have to be honest with yourself, well, what don't I do? What can I do better? Do I have guests in my home? Do we really have Torah values? Do I look at the vacation that I just had and say to myself, could have been better? Was I maybe not so machmir when it came to the laws of chametz and ate at a place that I knew really wasn't so kosher? If something happens and my garments literally have tzaras on them, do I say to myself, wait a minute, let me look at my clothing. Maybe this is a message of clothing. Do I ever check my suits for shatnez? Do I wear tzitzis? Do I look at my tzitzis? Do I have a pair of tzitzis for my bar mitzvah and I've never even checked them and they're probably not even kosher? My tefillin? Sneas for both men and women? If it's on my body, think about things on my body. There are various forms of tzaras. They're warning sirens. They're signals. They're Rebbeinu Shlomo's knocking and saying, this is all I want to do to you now. I'm not going to hurt you. But understand. Listen to the messages. Stage number two. And the final, and excuse me for saying, the most important stage is stage number three. We have to realize that all of punishments, anything bad that happens to us and to Klal Yisrael, is a form of love and kindness of the Ribbono Shel Olam. If we don't heed to the Torah's warnings, Hashem sends us punishments to alert us to the dangers. But Hashem loves us. And this is often something that is probably, if I had to pick the number one thing that we need to work on for this Zman specifically, I would say this would be the number one thing. We need to work on loving ourselves, and knowing that the Ribbono Shel Olam loves us. Just as an example, the Chovos of Levavos, gorgeous, amazing sefer, explains that in order to have true bitachon, you have to realize that Hashem cares about you in a very real way. You have to appreciate Hashem. You have to appreciate that Hashem is deeply concerned about you, and Hashem loves you. Just like parents love a child, but sometimes, right, the kid runs into traffic. So what happens after he runs into traffic? The parent, hopefully in a nice, appropriate way, smacks him. That kid will never forget that and won't do it again. It's not because the parent hates the child. Right? Parents have always had that difficulty where they have to do something, quote unquote, that seems bad to the child. The child may beg, please don't do this to me. But it's a doctor that's about to perform something or do something. Even a little thing like take blood, and the kid's like, no, I remember when the first COVID shot, my little Avishai. Besides, so he didn't want it. And then we opened the door to the car to get him out. My wife was holding him, and he got away from my wife, and he ran away. And for a half hour, it wasn't so funny, actually, but for a half hour, we had no idea where he was. It's in Eretz Israel, so it's fine. We found him. And then we found him, and I lied to him. This is important for this, what we're saying now. I lied to him, and I said, okay, forget it. We're not going for the shot. But I was so nervous. Come, just give me a hug. And he gave me a hug, and I grabbed him, and I put him in the car. And we ran him in. What terrible parents are we? And here I am. I'm literally holding him down with this horrible person who's doing the shot, who's like, instead of doing the shot, he kept going like this. So then when he does the shot, and then he did it, and he's like, see, you didn't even feel it. I did. He goes, yeah, I felt it, you idiot. But as a parent, the kid's crying and saying, stop, please. Why are you doing this to me? What did I do so wrong? Why are you giving me this needle? I love my child, and I thought that this was going to save his life. No comment. COVID shots did it. Not for now. But tachlis, it's that I'm a parent. I love my child. And sometimes he has to take pain because pain is good because it's going to cure him. He cares about us, Hashem. Hashem cares about you more than you could imagine. If your parents care about you, they love you, it's more than that. Hashem looks out for our best interests. We often get upset, quote unquote, at Hashem. A person loses a job, a person loses a shidduch, loses a girlfriend, whatever. And then sometimes you get lucky and you realize why. Wow, I can't believe I would have married that girl. Wow, thank you, Hashem. Oh, thank God I lost my job at this and this time because I was able to find this and this job. And no. Now look what I am. Wow, look, I teach in Leiva Torah. It's amazing. Hashem is looking out for us, our well-being. A tzaras comes, yes, but there's a reason for it. It's just we have to hear the message. Chazal used a powerful parable of Ben Sion Schaefer, and his great Shmuz points this out. And he says, Chazal uses the following thing. Long, long time ago, two peasants were discussing wealth with a king. And the wealth of the king. And one says to the other, you know how rich the king is? He's so rich. Because I bet you he has more than 100 silver coins. The other peasant's like, what are you, crazy? 100 silver coins? I bet you he's even richer than that. I bet you he has 100 gold coins. So what's the joke here? He doesn't have 100. He doesn't have 1,000. He has hundreds of thousands of silver, gold, diamonds. The guy's got billions of dollars worth of stuff. That's us. We try to gauge the Rabbeinu Shalom as a real person. Well, this is all he can do for me. If the Rabbeinu Shalom can make tzaras on a guf, on a beged, on a house, it makes no sense. It's supernatural. If he could do Kriyas Yamsuf just a week ago, he's talking to us. The peasants are insulting the king by saying he only has 100. 100 is nothing to them. It's the world. It's nothing to them. Right, to a little kid. Right, you know, you buy him a toy, and he's like, wow, I love the box. So I was like, okay, he doesn't get it. We can't understand because we put things in human terms. If we were to take a moment and understand that Hashem is loving kind, and he's doing everything for us, that is the foundation, according to the Chovas HaLovas, of Bitachon, knowing that Hashem loves you. Hashem is looking out for me. That's trust in the Rabbeinu Shalom. I can rely on Hashem. He did it for this reason. Living, growing with bitachon. That's the message, Rabbi Yisrael. And it's such an important message. So let's review. We first have to start with stage number one. Our parashas are telling us about tzaras, which was something supernatural. If you don't want to say from the guf, you want to beg it. To a house, it's impossible. Supernatural. Once we establish supernatural, we realize that the Rabbeinu Shalom is talking to us. And we have to look at ourselves and say, how can I be a better person? And it's not about necessarily saying, well, why did he stub my toe? Because my toe, what did I do bad with my... No. But it's about changing ourselves. A person should realize and recognize, for example, that during COVID, you should be able to, you know, your grandchildren should be able to say to you, you know, Saba, what changes did you make during COVID? Because clearly the Rabbeinu Shalom was talking to you when over a million people died. He was talking to you, right? You didn't do anything? What? Two teenage girls your age were murdered and their mom, and you didn't change? You didn't do anything? Huh? He's talking to you. 6 million people died in the Holocaust, and we're going to commemorate it here in Eretz Yisrael. Listening to Holocaust survivors, you're not going to change? Huh? And then the third stage is to say, wait a minute. Everything that happens to me, and sometimes we think it's only us. It's a good feeling to have. Why does God do this only to me? I have the bad life. Everybody else seems like everything's great. You know, you see the couple walking down, holding hands, and they must have a great marriage. My marriage is terrible. That guy must have the greatest job. Look at him. Look at the car that he drives. Don't know that the guy's car at night was just towed away because he couldn't pay his payment. You know, we don't look at that. Right?
Grass
is greener on the other side in Hanami. But we don't, we say it, but we don't, do we believe it? Do we don't consider ourselves, wow, she must be the greatest wife ever. What's wrong with you? But it's because Hashem loves you that he's doing this. He's concentrating on you. Finally, I have to say this because I'm sorry, but it's been bothering me. The Rebbeinu Shalom gives saras only to people who could handle that sorrow. The Rebbeinu Shalom never gives you something you can't handle. And my raya for that is this family. The D family. Rabbi D gets up and says what he said. I don't know what to say. Have you ever heard a grieving family get up and go, God, I hate your guts. I hate you. Everybody, stop being religious. Everybody, don't put tefillin on him. No, it's the opposite. We need achdus. We need to pray. A doctor writes, he was the first doctor at the scene. So the moment that he heard about the accident and he got in the car and he literally saved, you know, was able to save, unfortunately not for many days, but saved Lucy's life for a few days at least. And he went there to say on behalf of the entire hospital, I want to ask for forgiveness that we couldn't save her. We were the first on the scene. And he said, forgiveness. He said, you know, you should know, Rabbi D, you're the hero of Klal Yisrael. What you've done, try to have achdus. He says, you're the hero of Klal Yisrael. Who gets into a car and drives and tries to save someone? Who does that? Mika Abu Chol Yisrael and your whole hospital. You gave me this chus that my wife was able to donate 5 of her organs to save people's lives, mamish. Wow, thank you, you're the hero. And he walked out of there and he says, here I went to comfort somebody, they comforted me. The Rebbeinu Shalom is talking to you when something happens, and he only does it to people who can handle it. And you have to recognize and realize that. But on top of everything else is that Hashem loves you. Take it, make it personal. Something bad happened, make it personal. Why would Hashem make me... I set 6 alarms to get up in the morning for Minyan, I promised myself, and then God doesn't want me to open Minyan, that's what I'm missing. No. There's a message there. I don't know what the message is. It may not be related to Minyan, but Hashem loves you. We should be zeicha that we see no tzaras of Klal Yisrael. And the Rebbeinu Shalom recognizes that we get it. We hear your message. And we beg you, Hashem, to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash so we should have no tzaras. We should be zeicha to see the Bayis Shlishi of Meir V'Yameinu Amen.